Right, I want to invite everyone now watching this recording, listening this audio, also join us in really tuning into the space, sensing your body, sensing the space you are in, grounding yourself, being really present in the here and now. Especially also tuning into your heart. And I really want to invite you to stay in this inner attitude of listening with your whole system, being present in your body and especially in your heart, because this enables you to really pick up out of what my today's guest Aurora Pagonis and I will share. You can pick up what is really relevant for you and what touches and inspires you. And I also want to invite you to expand your awareness really around the whole globe, inviting everyone who's joining us, who really cares about our conscious evolution and coming together as a conscious family, caring about our transitioning into our next level of our human expression on this beautiful planet. And really become aware that we are not alone in this, and that we are beautifully supported and guided from our evolutionary impulse and from spirit and a greater order and intelligence. And before we go in our conversation, I just want to give you a brief introduction about my guest today, which is Aurora Pagonis. She's now in Australia, and she is an evolutionary ambassador and the founder of She Speaks. And Aurora is really here to ignite and inspire emerging conscious leaders and influencers to create change for the freedom and betterment of all. Specifically evoking feminine intelligent leadership to create a new way of living, loving, and leading where radical love and inspirational action are in the center. And I really love Aurora, that you are part of this amazing collection of inspirational speakers. And maybe you can give us a bit background and bring us into your universe. So what made you be interested in this whole topic of consciously evolving and especially igniting feminine leadership?
Oh, thank you so much. It's so beautiful to be with you. And really just wanted to acknowledge all of the viewers as well as they're sort of settling into listening to the interview, just a huge welcome to them also. It's interesting, as I started to feel into our conversation, I remembered an insight, let's say, that I had as a very young girl. At that time, I was very involved with the church, and that was my expression at that time of my spirituality. And even though I had been, came in as, through the Greek, my Greek background, both parents are Greek, to the Greek Orthodox Church, through a very uncanny set of circumstances, we ended up growing up with the Salvation Army, who are also a Christian faith, but often people know them as being, you know, of great service to those who are needy. And I remember being at a camp, a Christian camp, and I was speaking with somebody about Revelations, the last book of the Bible. And I had this knowing that however the shift that was going to occur on this planet, that had spirituality at its core, that I was a part of it, that I was actually going to be involved in it in some way. And there was a sense of excitement, but also a sense of fear. And so it's interesting to tune back into so very long ago as a little girl, knowing that this great change would happen in my lifetime while I was still here. And it was beautiful to actually acknowledge that, because in my recognition of more of myself and in my recognition of being able to truly start to fine-tune and listen to my wisdom and my guidance, intuition being such a beautiful core feminine intelligent leadership trait, as I started to tune more and more into that, I recognised that I had the ability to create some change just by being who I am. And so it has been this, I guess, a journey, like for all of us, of insights and dropping ins and understandings and clarity coming through, which often would come to me in still space. And for those who know me super well, still space isn't something that comes to me easily. You know, I love the pace and I'm into movement and I love empowerment. And yet it is definitely a muscle or a resource or an important place of meeting for me now that has been refined over years in different forms, now as mindfulness, meditation, prayer and intention. So it's interesting to see that there was threads already, and I know that for most of us who are saying yes to step into our own personal contribution, particularly at these times which are exciting but also challenging, that there has been some kind of a thread, and it's been really beautiful to witness that and to acknowledge that.
Mm, beautiful. And what really, when I'm listening to you, Aurora, what really resonates a lot with me is when you said you already contribute to the change by just being who you are. And I just want to kind of really invite everyone, just really embodying that, really being aware that already in just being who you are, that's already so powerful, because I just believe in that you consciously choose to come to this planet, to use a human body, to be part in this very exciting time we are in, which you already said. So, and with that, you naturally bring everything what is needed and what is required in order to be able, as you also said, to listen to the intelligence which is already there and which is guiding you. And Aurora, maybe to become kind of really specific and detailed, how does this tuning into your inner guidance, into your evolutionary thread, which is kind of an ever unfolding movement and motivation, how does it show up in your interior?
There's a few things that were so rich that you shared that I'd like to pick up on, and yet to just respond to your question. You know, the one thing that it's actually been, the thing that's actually supported me to tune into that thread has been by being committed, I guess, to certain practices to support me to get to that listening, because to really be myself has been an unlearning. It's been a remembering. So it's been quite the process. And so the way for me to help to tune into that inner thread has been to be in the stillness, to actually invoke a space of sacred space, and to really listen. And the way that I am supported to listen is through journaling and through my writing. In fact, She Speaks was given to me in that form. I had no idea I was going to be working with women, which is what I've devoted my practice and my coaching and my facilitation for the last 6 or 7 years. I didn't have an idea. I am now going to work with women. She just came. She Speaks came. And then my attention moved from leadership, which was in a corporate business framework, but working from an inside-out approach with compassion and some of the qualities of the feminine, and then moved to be very specific. And I love how when we are in that deep listening, the specificity finally shows up. And I say finally shows up because I know there's probably many viewers or people who will be coming in and listening to our conversations and perhaps contributing who are still really calling in the specificity of their calling or their contribution or the specificity of their genius. And it takes patience. It takes great patience. So this place of becoming myself has taken time, and it's, I'm always curious to go, oh, wow, there's another bit. And yet to really name and start to be comfortable with the uniqueness that I bring, and to witness you in the uniqueness that you bring. And to really recognize, because growing up in a very male-dominated environment, particularly in corporate business for many years, in the IT and telco space, which was very male-dominated, I got to refine and learn a lot of the masculine qualities, which were supportive, but in and of themselves and by themselves wasn't the whole picture.
Hmm.
So, yeah, it's a journey.
Yeah. And yes, I love this unlearning. And when I listen to you, what I was reminded of is that often when we look our special gifts, we can so easily overlook them because they often are so natural to us that we overlook them, that we don't see it, that we wouldn't put the label on, oh, this is a special skill or this is a special gift, because we are it. We it's so natural to us. And maybe if you have a similar experience, maybe you can also talk a bit about that.
Well, I love that, because sometimes if I'm in conversation with somebody and they're looking to, what are my gifts? I don't really have any gifts. You know, it's one of the things is we haven't really been encouraged generally as across humanity to really be encouraged to bring our gifts forward. So the first piece is about having the willingness to look at the beauty that lies inside of ourselves, and then to be held in that, you know, that it's a safe place. And yet it's true. When I witness somebody sharing their gifts, whether it be for the first time or somebody who's really received and are really clear about their gifts, when you witness that person, it's such a natural part of who they are. And so it's very difficult to distinguish it. So what I often say to people if they're on this path of searching, just ask other people who know you well, what are your gifts? And then, you know, some people who are probably conscious and more open would probably be very willing to say, what I love and witnessing you is this. And that honouring, it's such a deep honouring to be seen in that way, is kind of it's kind of a forgotten art, and something that I feel is really, really important that we bring back into our conversations and in our sharings, that acknowledgement of the uniqueness of our gifts. And then from then to be able to step into the flourishing to see how it wants to be expressed. Because for me, in the acknowledgement of my gifts, I've noticed that there's so many ways that I can bring it forth. So in the receiving of my gifts of who I am being, I can then move my attention to actually step into the doing and then to express it in different forms. Whereas we kind of grow up, particularly in the Western frame, where the doing comes first. And so the acknowledgement hasn't really been addressed or acknowledged.
Yeah. And do you have special methods or contexts which would you support you in that really kind of being it first? I mean, you mentioned stillness. Are there any other supportive tools or environments where you found out, or also maybe for other women, which seem to be really supportive in that process?
One of the things that I've really loved and have seen women flourish in is actually being in, you know, an ongoing connected group of women coming together where the opportunity is to explore who they are being, to explore who they are in a safe environment. There's something powerful that happens when we're in conversation and when we're in sacred conversation. And so the consistency of contact in small groups that become so powerful and so transformative, and is part of my expression of my work in bringing women together in that place. And one of the things that's important is the ability to really have that resource of safety, because often to be seen or to be heard or to share or to actually be vulnerable, to bring all of these beautiful qualities through, which are all aspects of ourselves, to be bold, to be courageous, to bring through things in all of the spectrums in a safe environment, it almost becomes the container for not only transformation and yet for greatness. So small groups coming together consciously in sacred conversation with practice of mindfulness and dropping into inner space that really support the intelligence of the heart, that really support the intelligence and the wooing of the feminine, if we're speaking to her, to come back, to be expressed, to be shared, because there's a shyness for that. You know, there's a shyness that sits in that. So the groups become very, very powerful. Journaling becomes a very powerful thing. I feel like it becomes more than the personal journey of reading. It needs to be applied and expressed. Creative expression can do that also.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. And when I'm listening to you, Aurora, what kind of really stood out is this really being able to open up in our vulnerability. Because I sense that when I drop into my heart and when I drop in my essence, what comes with that is really a fundamental openness. And with this fundamental openness, naturally there comes also this notion of totally being vulnerable. And I really love that you address it, that we need safe spaces where we can start to show up in that openness and in that vulnerability, and to kind of be then able to make it to our default mode, to our default inner attitude, to be able to show also in other environments up like that. Because what I would say, this is one of the biggest feminine gifts we have, being in this absolute openness, because often when we let in everything what we experience, and often it's also pain when we kind of really notice the pain, when we look out in the world in certain situations and circumstances, pain which we are able to feel often gives us a push to kind of come into action, what you said. And if we shut down and if we are not open, kind of there is a closeness from both directions, not coming in, but also not coming out. And so I really love that in our conversation, we really address that, because I sense it as essential.
As you're speaking, what I'm connecting to is how vulnerability is a gateway. It's really a gateway for me to actually really have an opportunity to really see you. And in your willingness to be seen, it gives me more permission and safety to also be seen. And something starts to happen in that, this magic, I call it almost, of realness, where we actually get to meet.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And I mean, I really want to invite the listeners and the viewers, because we now addressing it, we really open it up more. I really can sense it, like my pores in my body are opening, my senses becoming broader. And what also happens when we then get into this mode, we are really opening to other dimensions. What you addressed as experiencing it as magic. So when I'm able to open into other dimensions of what I am, not just this physical, touchable, visible body, but also more in my energy dimension and in my essence, in my never born, never dying essence, I'm so much more able to sense you, to see you, to be aware of you, and not just of you, but also of a bigger context. And then kind of it seems to me when we open that space, we really step into another world. We step into another reality.
And it really is the gateway of the new earth as well, the new humanity. It is really the way of releasing all of this place of notion of separateness. And so the more of us, the one, the two, the ten, the hundred, the thousands and millions, as we start to be willing to open, and when we become willing to open together, we start to really see the truth. And it, for me, in the core of that is where all healing lives. In the core of that is where all wisdom lives. In the core of that is where all of our answers live. So when we get still, we are guided. And in the core of that, of course, is love. And it's interesting, because for many of us, and it was like this for me too in the beginning of my journey, can I continue to open in the face of heartbreak? When I show up in my emotionality and my vulnerability, I'm risking. Am I prepared to risk? And what is it that I'm really risking? And what's the cost if I don't open? So I remember a teacher very early on my journey sharing with me, she said, I would rather have my heart break 1,000 times so that I can actually feel love. So this willingness to open to the pain also creates the willingness to open to the beauty. And I really feel in our willingness to be vulnerable and to really express what's here and to open, we get to move into a new vibration, the vibration of joy and aliveness. And really, for me, that is the direction for us to be moving towards, to really awaken humanity to the new. The new that we are seeing, feeling and sensing through this space of conscious evolution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Beautiful. And what comes up when I listen to you, Aurora, is that for me, curiosity also often is kind of drives me to really going deeper, because when you said for example, there might be a heartbreak. And when I open to that, I would sense emotions connected with that pain. But when I start, because quite often we can then kind of stay stuck in the realm of this emotional turmoil in a way. But when I then start to be curious, what is it more? What it is more about? And this curiosity. And then I just noticed that something as if a door in the ground in my emotional level would open and I could drop deeper to an even deeper level. And there already kind of, this is a realm where our logical mind has not really access to it and kind of can get kind of afraid or turning away because it can't make sense. But when we enter through the emotional level to even deeper levels, there another kind of magic happens. And then I sense we becoming really more, I always get this vertical movement where we really open up into our depth and with deepening also reaching higher. And I mean, I'm really curious to hear a bit more about you, how you would express being this new human. But for me, being in this vertical alignment and being able to drop deeper in a vertical direction and reaching up higher is kind of one facet of this new human. But maybe you can share other facets as well, or maybe add something to what I just shared.
Yeah, thank you. It's interesting, you know, my inner journey and the discovery and the exploration, which of course takes curiosity. I almost say it's becoming like the investigator sleuth. What's really going on in there began over 20 years ago when I started dropping into my healing journey, which I think is a really important facet of stepping into the new human. And yet the pointing for me now is not towards healing, even though healing happens and continues. It's like, you know, I had this idea many, many moons ago, and maybe many of us did, that, you know, one day I would clean out the whole vessel and then there'd be nothing left. And yet newer and more subtle insights and healing has occurred. But as I start to focus my attention to empowerment, as I start to focus my intention to expansion, as I start to focus my attention to conscious evolution, what I'm pointing to shifts. And whilst the healing and the expansion and the openings continue to happen, the important part of that is to start to look at the visioning and looking at the insights of who am I becoming and what am I creating and what does that look like? And we have beautiful people like my mentor, and I know that you Barbara Marks covered very well, and I and Barbara feels like she's in the space, and whose gift was very much about conscious evolution and being able to see what was coming. And that's not everybody's gift. We've all got the little pieces of the puzzle. So if I tune into the new human feels like she and he are turned on from a place of really knowing themselves. They feel like they have a absolute connection to their divine self, so the upper, which you pointed to, but also have recognized the and have embodied and received their humanity. So it's almost like the duality of heaven and earth, or divine and human, come to merge. And it has been my experience and my life path, really, where I have had the opportunity to really explore duality in all of its fullness. So being in the business world, you know, really looking at living from a very in-the-world perspective, but also having very beautiful expanded experiences of the divine. I even had, as I was growing up, two separate lots of friends. I had two different areas of where I would live. And they were separated. And so I feel the new human is walking the integrated path, the path of union. And so what's been very interesting for me as I've been exploring and contributing to feminine intelligence, what I've got to understand, for us to flourish through the insights of feminine intelligence, we still need to really support and bring forth our masculine who holds us. So let's say in a leadership perspective, as an example, you know, the place of intuition, that place of deep listening become a feminine aspect, that place of compassion, where we're able to bring forth our compassion. When that is supported by the focus and the direction and the structure of the masculine, the feminine is able to relax and flourish. And so, you know, the new human to me is coming forth from a very integrated approach. And I feel that with the evolution of technology and all the different innovations that are happening in all the different sectors across the globe, in conjunction with that and our spiritual evolution, there's something quite powerful and palpable occurring, and something powerful and palpable that we can step into. And yet I feel like the first step is for all of us to start to see that we have the opportunity of creating a planet that is flourishing, a humanity that is flourishing, that we move from struggle to a place of expansion and happiness. So it sometimes feels like a really big jump, doesn't it? Like the two, like from, you know, the devolution and the evolution, like it feels like the gap is really wide. And yet I guess in the exploration of conscious evolution, that inner choice I feel needs to happen. I choose to actually focus my attention. I choose for the earth to actually move in an upward direction. You know, I choose to actually contribute in that way. And whilst all the current reality is looking this way, you know, it can be sometimes challenging in our witnessing of the new to actually continue to step forward in that, because we get challenged, don't we?
Yeah, and often kind of, I so much love what you are sharing, because this really making this conscious choices and turning towards really what we want to make growing, what we want to see flourishing, is such a crucial, ongoing moment by moment choice. It's not done. Once choose and then it's it. You do it with every second. And I also just want to kind of also put awareness to it. It starts also with very little choices, with what do I drink? What do I eat? Where do I live? With which people do I kind of surround me? Which books do I read? How do I spend my time? It's not always only the big things, setting up a company or finding my total life vision. It's really also in the little things. And one of my dear teachers always also said, how you are in the little things and the choices you make in the little things, this is what you do with the big things, because the big things are kind of a collection out of many little things in a way, or just it's a lineup of little things and then something bigger or a bigger step or a bigger opportunity shows up. So I kind of really want to bring our awareness to that also, yeah.
That is such an important thing to share, because, you know, when we consciously choose to move forward, it becomes a way of being. It's almost like a lifestyle. And so, you know, it's kind of like that place of learning and growth. It's kind of like I might have a mental concept about something, and then I get an experience that comes through my heart, and then I am stepping into inspired actions around it. And then at some point it becomes embodied. It almost becomes a part of my, you know, of my being. And it's kind of, it's almost like when you look at it, you know, a habit change, but this is working at a much deeper level. And it's so important, again, these small groups coming together to really support through resonance and coherence and support to keep us on track. Because when the majority is still in a specific current reality, it can be very easy for us to get swayed if we're not in our practice, if we're not in good company, we're not eating the right. All of the things that you've spoken about really help keep us in alignment, don't they? Yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing I would like to focus a bit on is you mentioned this really holding this vision and being connected with the future. And really, for me, it's also when I'm there. I mean, I sense this future potential, this future possibility so deeply and so strong that it's in a way already present, even though it's not, you can't see it. It's not visible yet, but its beingness is already so present in the now that for me, it's kind of not so difficult to really stay connected and follow that. But I want to address it because sometimes it just happens when we have a vision and we don't see results immediately. We maybe start doubting or, you know, just questioning, oh, maybe it's not the right thing, or maybe it's too big, or, you know, just blah, blah, blah. But I want to encourage everyone really staying connected to the biggest, highest possible vision you have, where your heart has a resonance, to stay attuned to it, even though you can't see it yet, but it's already in your presence. Otherwise, you wouldn't have it as a vision, because receiving it as a vision is already its beingness. It's already there.
I love what you're speaking to, because we're already, and we kind of, I'm sort of going a full circle with a little bit of a conversation we started with earlier. It's kind of like our uniqueness and who we are being and our natural makeup has all of the resources already there. We just need to remember and see them. So, for example, the one that I love is the evolutionary impulse, the place that comes up within us that is full of desire, that is full of onness, that when we're actually attuned to that, that's the direction we can keep coming back to. Of course, sometimes we lose vision of that because we come into our heads and the doubt and all those sorts of things, and that's where, again, we're really good company can support us. But in our own willingness to tune back into that impulse, that aliveness, it always has the clue. And, you know, having grown up in a very male-dominated environment, which I've learnt so much even in business, it was all about the plan. You know, it's all about I'm going to do this. And I often will fall back and use plans to support me. And yet in this space of conscious evolution, in this place of visioning, sometimes we only get the next step. And so, you know, the willingness just to sit with the next step, just one, and not knowing, and it could be a step that hasn't come from here. It's kind of like it feels a bit left field. This is what you're to do next, and you've got this aliveness to do that. That takes courage to keep walking that next step. So it's kind of like we have all the inbuilt pieces, even though we may not see the full vision of the future. So, yeah, that becomes an important thing, just to keep coming back to the body, keep coming back to the listening in of what's here, because it's like everything lives within us. And often we're looking outside of ourselves, you know, what about this? What about this? Or grasping. And, you know, I find myself in an interesting position right now, having devoted my body of work to women, which has actually brought in a very important piece to leadership. And yet I feel I'm in one of those transitionary periods myself where I'm needing to listen. I can feel the discomfort of it sometimes in, like, okay, what's the next piece as it's starting to come in? And the willingness to wanting to step forward, but it's not in my timing. So, you know, how do I stay patient? I breathe. I stay in good company. I keep visioning. I journal. I stay in the stillness. And I just take the next one step.
So beautiful. I really love that. And I mean, I just want to share briefly, because I guess so many of us are in this transitioning. And I myself also, it started maybe 8 years ago, where I deeply recognized that I'm so conditioned by this male way of operating, and I was so sad in a way. I was so sad that there are qualities and an intelligence inside of me. I could sense it, but I was also aware that it was just it wants to come more to the surface. And in this time space, I really started to sense it's so important that I really made major lifestyle choices, for example. For me, it was, I was so much attracted to living in a yurt, what you see here now in the background, because I sense that this round space without corners, without edges, and the fact that the yurt doesn't have the solid brick walls, but is made of a more thin material, and I'm so close to nature, I hear the wind more, I hear the rain more, I hear the birds. I just sensed in my case, that this supports me doesn't mean that everyone needs to live in a yurt when you want to kind of unfold your feminine qualities. But I just sense, I mean, and I haven't been in one before. I didn't know anyone who could help me to build up one, but just staying true to that calling that this supports me, all the resources in its timing showed up. And the other thing was also that I then also stopped doing my work, which I did. I mean, it was a beautiful thing. I was part of a seminar center. We had founded a community around. I was managing the program and the place and everything. And many beautiful things happened there, but I still found myself operating so much out of this male conditioning. And I wasn't able to transition and to tune into a other way of being while still being active and working 12 hours a day. I just wasn't able to. Maybe some people are able, I wasn't. So I just withdraw and a serious health issue also supported me in just quitting doing that. And now looking back to it, I just find out that it was totally perfect that this illness, and I have a hard time to call it like that because it was really kind of a gift, an opening to really dedicate much more time. And I had a period then for 4 or 5 years where I wasn't working, where I was supported from my health insurance and later from becoming a time-wise pension, which gave me the freedom to kind of really find out what supports me in embodying more this feminine intelligence and dropping deeper. And I just share this kind of here in this context because maybe some of you are also in this situation where you deeply sense that some of your engagement or your environment you're living in doesn't support your going forward, your process. And maybe this kind of encourages you to say yes to your inner calling. Because when I look back what I'm doing now and where I'm engaging now, it's so much more in alignment with my deepest heart's desire, with my calling, with bringing forth a new way of being than it was before.
And I know that that is true because I just witnessed you become so alive in the sharing of that. Like if just looking at your eyes and the color in your skin and the excitement in your voice and the interesting thing that really came through in your share was this place where the feminine intelligence, we start to trust it. And in the trusting, we start to deeply trust ourselves. And in the deeply trusting of ourselves, we start to deeply trust the connection of all things. And in the deeply trusting of all things and the divine, then we start to drop into an even deeper connectedness. And I feel like that is the important, one of the most important part of our remembering is that we are connected and that we've always been connected. And, you know, it's the beauty of the feminine lens that allows us to drop back into that remembering. And so she, through us, as us, becomes the most beautiful gift available in allowing the, it's almost like the threading and the weaving of humanity to come back together in that understanding that we are not alone. And that this idea of separateness was just some silly notion. And it feels really, really important to presence that here in this moment with our viewers and those who are listening in and who are contributing their energy, that they also open into that place of remembering that they are connected and that we are part of a whole ecosystem. It's like my, I get completely bamboozled when I start to tune into every single cell in my body, and there's trillions of cells, know exactly what to do without me needing to do a thing. Isn't that amazing? Like, it really blows my mind. And then to actually recognize that the whole of the earth, with each of us as individual humans really acting as individual cells of the whole, that each of us have that unique, that uniqueness, that in alignment and resonance with each other, we're actually able to create without needing to do a thing. So it blows my mind and it blows my heart wide open. And I know that those who have found themselves here in this gathering, whether speaker or not speaker, you know, same, same. You know, that invitation of really coming together in that wholeness and being able to co-create, because that has been one of the greatest explorations and one of the greatest gifts that I have also had in being able to bring more of myself forward in working with others and playing with others in this space, and really seeing that the future of growth in all sectors of our humanity, whether it be business or government or health, is from this place of co-creation where we meet each other as equals and yet are inspired to create for the whole, are inspired to create a place where I'm taken care of, you're taken care of, and the whole of humanity is taken care of, as opposed to, you know, the shareholders at the top of the ladder of an organisation, as an example. So this shift comes from the ability for us to be in our compassion and to be in our heart and to recognize that we are actually a global family, which is something that has been with me ever since I was a little girl. You know, I remember as a little girl, like I used to say, my mum used to think I was quite, oh, she's, you know, she's a little bit innocent because she loves everybody. And I did, and I do. And yet the truth is that is just an indication of the wholeness. You know, that what happens over here happens over there. Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for co-creating this beautiful space for all of us, which we are experiencing right now, just in we sharing this. And maybe, Aurora, you can kind of become a bit more specific of your offers you invite women into in your She Speaks program.
I would love to. Thank you. So whilst I continue to work one-on-one as a coach with women who are stepping more and more into their leadership, and it's women who are already in business, It's women who are creating new bodies of work with the focus of shifting humanity. I also hold mastery groups or small pods of women coming together. There's something powerful that happens in the group, that when one woman is having an insight or as one is being deeply vulnerable, the shift that happens across the whole is very palpable. So I actually hold women's circles and feminine intelligent leadership trainings, but in a group frame. And one of the things that I will be diving back into is just interviewing women and having sacred conversations, because there's something that occurs when we actually see the modelling of these traits and experiences in one another. So the series is about ordinary women doing the extraordinary. And so, yeah, there's an opportunity for coaching, just being in the space, and really to sort of hone in on a few things. It's personal empowerment and personal leadership, so that inside-out approach. And then it's also the collective leadership, and then being able to bring bodies of work through and inviting people into your vision and your expression.
Mm-hmm. And just one question popped up when you mentioned you work with groups. Is it offline? Is it online? Is it both?
So I've mainly been working online, so global groups, which means I've had great accessibility. I will probably start working with some more local groups. I'm missing the face-to-face. There's something about, I call them fleshies. When you get to see each other in the flesh, it's like, oh my gosh, she's real. You know, I'm sure you've had that opportunity where you've seen somebody that you've been, you know, traveling with for some years, and then all of a sudden you get to see them in the flesh locally, and looking at that. And also I would love to start to bring groups of women that I'm working with across the globe into sacred journeys as well, because there's something that happens when we come together in powerful spaces. And yet if any beautiful women would like to learn more about She Speaks, I'll be sharing a link that they can come in, and I'd be very, very happy to have them to come in and just sit in on a call and just get a feel of what it feels like for them.
Mm. Thank you so much, Aurora, for spending this precious time with us, for sharing your experiences, your heart's desire, your wisdom, your ordinariness, your extraordinariness. And if there is still something in your heart where you haven't had an opportunity to share it now, you can just kind of use it to close our conversation.
Yeah, you know what it is? Thank you for asking. I'm feeling that I'd really love to close our conversation with a meditation to invite us to drop in together as we close. I do also want to mention my involvement as an evolutionary ambassador. I know that we're going to have an opportunity to meet some other of the fantastic ambassadors, all working in different sectors across the globe later this week. I know the interview's happening. So, yeah, I'll get an opportunity to speak to that. So I would really love to thank you. I'd like to thank all of the men and women who've contributed to this offering, and to all of the men and women who are actually rising, and children. I really feel the children, and that's part of the uprising leaders who are coming through in terms of supporting them. They have keys and they have codes. They already know what's coming. And so an opportunity to hold the children and the younger rising leaders into their voices and into their expression feels important. So I just wanted to name those in the space, as much as it is to connect with our elders as well. Yeah. So deep, deep, deep thank you for allowing me just to show up and be myself. And would you like if I just created a little closing meditation for us all and see what wants to emerge? Does that feel good?
Yes, please go for it.
Okay, lovely. I'm just going to invite everybody just to close down their eyes or lower their gaze. And just as we start to drop into the stillness, allowing your body and your being just to receive all of what has been shared. Just noticing what has been enlivened in you. And to support us to go even deeper now, I invite us all to take a long, deep breath in through the nose. And a long releasing breath out through the mouth. And another beautiful long deep breath in through the nose. And a relaxing breath out through the mouth. Relaxing your beautiful belly. Allowing your shoulders to drop as you find yourself in a place of connected presence. How does it feel to show up as yourself? How does it feel just to be here now? So welcoming all of the shy parts, the bold parts, the known and the unknown parts. Allowing all of yourself to know that you are welcome. And in that welcoming, I invite you to take your place. I invite you to claim your space, your uniqueness, your beauty, your gift. Energetically calling you home to yourself. And just noticing and receiving whatever is happening for you in this moment from a place of allowing. And as we all collectively now take our place, and as we all collectively lean in to this space of conscious evolution, this space of knowing that we are evolving and this choice to be evolving consciously, we start to feel the ripple effects through the earth, through our beings, through our connectedness. And allowing the intention of love and flourishing to be sent out across the globe now. Awakening and enlivening the hearts and souls of many. Before we come back to open eyes and back to conclude our conversation, just taking a moment to really acknowledge yourself for all that it's taken to be here now in this moment. Sending all of my appreciation and love. You are seen, you are loved. And as we turn our attention to the future of a vision of a new humanity, one with love in the center, one where we acknowledge our gifts and the flourishing of our innovations and our hearts, we conclude this meditation, perhaps with a smile on our lips, and a smile in our belly as we take another beautiful deep breath in through the nose. And this time an enlivening, awakening breath in. And a long breath out. Taking a moment to perhaps rub our hands or have a really big stretch. And when you're ready, taking a moment just to open your eyes. And just come back together in the space. Thanking you, Pereira, and thanking you all.
Thank you, Aurora, for this beautiful meditation. Thank you for being part of the Conscious Evolution Summit. And also a big heartfelt thank you to you watching this video, listening to the audio, tuning into us, and maybe also watching our next conversations which are coming and sharing with your friends. And a really heartfelt welcome to the Conscious Evolution community. Goodbye.
Blessings, blessings, blessings. Thank you so much. Bye for now.